Welcome to the Word of Life Tabernacle podcast, where we know one word from God can change your life today. From wherever you are listening, we hope you are encouraged by this week's message.
Turn to Romans chapter 8. We've been talking about growing into sonship. And tonight, I just want to use the subtopic maturing as sons of God, sons and daughters of God. Remember, we're not talking about the gender as much as the relationship. Amen. Whether you are male or female, the Bible says there is neither in Christ but a new creature. So we're talking about maturing as sons and daughters of God, mature offspring. You should be able to measure growth. You know, the same things I did when I first got saved in 1974, my life has changed. I'm not the same person. You should be able to look back and measure growth. Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I thought as a child, comprehended as a child. So your comprehension should grow. Your speech should grow. Amen. And how you understand should grow, praise God. So we want to measure a growth and ask ourselves, am I really matured? How do I respond when I hear something that I do not like or someone disagree with me? Does it cause strife or do I walk in love? Have I matured in the love of God? Have I matured, praise God, in how I handle rejection? Have I matured in all types of different facets of life? You should be able to measure growth and look back and say, you know, I'm not the same person that I used to be. So we're talking about maturing as sons of God. Romans chapter 8, we're going to read certain verses of scripture here, starting with verse 14 and 15 says this, for many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We have a Father now. And when we were born again, God didn't put another spirit of fear in us, but a spirit that cries, Abba, Father. Hallelujah. And you know, we're talking about developing in sonship. And so when we are born, Paul put it this way, as newborn babes, we are to desire the sincere milk of the word that we may grow thereby. So you're not born an adult no more than when you were born physically. That is flesh. You came out 6'6", 200 pounds. You didn't come out that. You was a child and you had to develop. You had to develop physically, emotionally, mentally. Well, so is things in the natural. There is a maturation or maturing in the spirit. And here he says, we cry, Abba, Father. And notice that sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Then we drop down to verse 19, which says this, for the earnest expectation of the creation waited for the manifestation of the sons of God, the revealing of the sons of God. And then we go to verse, and I purposely didn't read these verses because I wanted you to see this. Now that I laid a foundation, look at verse if you look at with me at verse 21 and verse 22 says this, because the creation, all of creation itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know whole creation, all the creation, groaneth and travaileth in the pain until now. Sin affected everything. When Adam sinned, it affected not only man, it affected the whole creation. And because of sin, we see the effects of sin. Satan became the god of this world. And the Bible says that we are the problem solvers. All of creation is waiting for the sons of God. The world is not going to heal itself. The church has taken the place. The church, the body of Christ, listen to that, has taken place of Jesus. He's the head. But when the head was here, what did he do? All of creation was groaning then. It was blind, halt, withered, sick, brokenhearted, hungry. Jesus, praise God, solved problems. He went about healing the sick, raising the dead, doing the works of God. I come to do the works of my Father. Well, when he sat down, somehow we think that, well, the church thing now, goal is just to survive. No, we're still the body. He's the head. He turned all authority of the Great Commission over to the body. And all the creation is groaning. They're suffering birth pains, the drug addict, the man that's brokenhearted, the woman that's bound, the person by alcohol or whatever. And I want you to understand, I use those examples, but there are people that's rich that's crying out. Because their money can't buy them peace. There are people that's got all the stuff and still crying out because sin affected everyone. Sin just didn't touch the poor. It touched the poor, the rich, the middle income. And the Bible says all the creation is groaning. They're suffering birth pains. They're like a woman in labor. Where are the sons of God? They're waiting for manifestation of the sons of God. Let's go back and pick up some of this in Amplified because I want to move tonight and go with a good flow. So we are the problem solvers. We are the answer to the world. On the day of Pentecost, when the church was born, we see they immediately hit the streets, begin to heal the sick, raise the dead. The effects of sin and sickness and disease on people's lives, the church, the body of Christ, began to hit the streets and being healing. The man at the beautiful gate, people got in Peter's shadow. From somehow, the church has gotten away from its purpose. All the creation is still waiting on you and I. Thank God for our prosperity. Thank God for all the blessing of God that God has given us all. But we still have a responsibility to bring deliverance to a dying world. He says, so even the whole, look at verse 19. All the creation, all of nature waits expectantly. They're longing for, earnestly, God's sons. Now remember, as many that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons and daughters of God. And we're going to talk about more of that Sunday. That's where we got to grow up. Babes are about their feeling. You hurt my feeling. You made me mad and you offended me. Paul talked about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He says, I wanted to feed you with milk, with meat, but I couldn't have fed you with milk because you're still carnal. You're still fleshy. There's envy and strife and division. And we got to understand the church has got to mature in love and mature above feelings. He said, be quiet. People are waiting on you. People are depending on you. All of creation longs earnestly for God's son to be made known. Where are the sons of God? That's why when Jesus was walking the earth as the only begotten son, now he's the first begotten, that's why all of creation was thronging him. The lame, the blind, the halt, the withered, folks that had leprosy, they was longing. Well, it's no different now. That's where everywhere he went. Why? They was waiting for a deliverer. Well, now we have the same responsibility as sons of God to be made known. They wait for the revealing, the disclosure of their sonship. We got to grow up quickly, praise God, and bring deliverance. Look, go ahead and look at verse 21 and verse 22. For nature, creation itself, shall be set free from its bondage to decay and corruption and gain an entrance into the glorious liberty of God's children. We know that the whole creation of irrational creatures have been moaning together in pains of labor until now. Now, that's important. God really dealt. It's like the wino, the drunkard, the folks that's not saved, let's just say the heathen. I don't want to get too descriptive because there are rich people crying out for help. That money can't save them. There are poor people crying out for help. There are folks brokenhearted, bound. There's a pandemic. Folks want to know, how do you get out of this thing? I've lost loved ones. There are people without health care. There are people that are sick in hospital. I mean, we've seen hospitalization. Thank God that all of that is coming out. Praise God, if you want to give credit to this administration, then you should, because at least they are doing something and those numbers are coming down. But they're not just waiting on a vaccine. That's for the outer man. They're waiting. Vaccines can't save you. They're yearning. It's like a woman that's in labor, that's in pain, and the world is groaning and moaning on your jobs and all around you. How can we get out of this pandemic? How can I get find peace? How can I make it in this pandemic? I mean, I've been laid off. It's like labor pains. And they are crying out for you and I, sons of God. We are the deliverers. Praise God. So you see that. I ain't got to keep going over that. I've laid that foundation. That's why we got to mature. The deliverance of mankind is at stake. Praise God. So God will not transfer. We said this. God is not going to transfer, though, his power, even though we're sons and daughters of God, and the full inheritance over to immature children. We got to grow up. That's why I'm calling this tonight maturing as sons and daughters of God. We got to put away childish stuff and isms and schisms and division in the church. And I'm talking about the body of Christ. The world is not going to come together. That's the world. And they're going to think like the world and act like the world. We are the body of Christ. And the world, we should be a model to the world. They should be looking at how we walk in love. Look at how we mature. Look at how we bring deliverance. Look at how we handle adversity on the job. The world, we are, praise God, the salt of the earth, Jesus said. And if the salt has lost its savor, it ain't good for nothing. We're the keeping power. We're the only reason this whole planet haven't totally gone into obliteration and just been destroyed. The church is still here. The body of Christ and all the creation around us has been affected by sin. And they're moaning and travailing. And we got to grow up. We ain't got time to be fussing and fighting over isms and schisms. Man's deliverance is at stake. That's why Jesus, when he came on earth, you notice he didn't get into all types of conflict with the scribes and Pharisees. You healed on the Sabbath day. Moses said this in the law. You know what? He said, I must be, listen, about my Father's business. I ain't got time to argue with y'all. There's something more at stake, more important at stake. And that means maturity. When you can look over that and fight and fuss and come together, hallelujah, as a church. So God is not going to transfer the full inheritance. We've been talking about that over to immature children. We saw in Luke 15 what happened to the young guy that was still, well, both of them was immature. One of them was in the house and he was in self-righteousness. The other said, I want my inheritance. And even though they were sons and daughters of God, because the father gave it to him because he was not mature, he went out and wasted it on riotous living and found himself slopping hogs. That's what immaturity and an inheritance that is premature would do. That's why God can't trust a lot of people with stuff. And even our children, you don't give an 8-year-old, 7-year-old loaded gun. You don't give them your paycheck once you cash it and say go put up the money. They'll lose it. They're too immature. And so God is waiting on you and I to mature. And we use 1 Corinthians 13:11, Psalms 2. Watch this. When I was a child, Paul said, I spake as a child. This is coming from the famous chapter of love. He was talking about all of that stuff that love does not do that's childish. Love is kind. Love is patient. You can't judge maturity by the gifts of the Spirit and cause folks to prophesy. Because he said, do I have all faith to remove mountains and prophesy and understand our mission? Have not love, I am nothing. So he said, love is kind, it's patient, it's not puffed up, proud. It don't stoke division. It's not haughty, it bleeds the best of every person. Hope at all things and do at all things. And Paul said, when I was a child, and see, that's what we are born as children of God. That's why the children of Israel never came out of the wilderness. They never grew up. They murmured and complained. He said, when I was a child, I thought like a child, I spake like a child, I understood like a child. And I thought like a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Notice this, there come a time of maturity that you grow up into a man. We know this in the natural. I mean, if I came to your house and you got your 15-year-old and you holding him up in your lap, and he's got a beard, you know, and you got him up in your lap and you feeding him, I'm going to say something is wrong with that child. He should have matured beyond that. Well, there are a lot of people been in the church years, but they still haven't matured in the things of God. Birthdays or time even in the church does not equate to maturity. There are a lot of immature Christians. Paul had to write to the Corinthian church. They were prophesying, doing signs, wonders, and miracles. And Paul said, you are still cardinal. Because there's envy, strife, and division, and you act like, get this, he said mere men, but the Amplified says mere unchanged men. You act just like sinners. And that's why the word haven't flopped to the body of Christ. Because the church has been on display here. And we must, praise God, come together into the unity of the faith. Not doctrine, not politics, not left, not right, all of that stuff. That's your opinion. The thing we have in common is that we're responsible for bringing deliverance to the world. Hallelujah. And that man that was blind gives the best example of this. He didn't care about what church it went to. He didn't care about you left, right, moderate. He didn't care if you was independent. He didn't care if you, I was blind, now I see. No one cares about all of that stuff. Folks are crying out for deliverance. Hallelujah. And Jesus, hallelujah, healed the man. The woman that had was bowed over for 18 years, Jesus came and said, woman, you're loose from your infirmity. She was in church for years, trying to get help, crying out for deliverance. But guess what? There was religious scribes and Pharisees. We got a lot of religious churches today that's into washing cups and pans and praying the right prayers and sellings and doing all. But humanity is crying out, and we're going to be judged for that. So he said, when I became a man, I put away childish things. What man is he talking about? He's talking about that same man in Ephesians 4, why God gave teachers, pastors, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, that you may be henceforth no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, but might grow up into him unto a perfect, it says perfect, that word means mature man, even to the head, which is Christ. So there's mature, and it's time to put that stuff away, because God is not going to turn his inheritance over to them. Remember, the inheritance is not just about money or things, and thank God for that, and thank God for the abundance and debt cancellation. Oh, don't get me wrong. It's not limited to that. We looked at the scriptures of Psalms 2. Psalms 2. And verse 7 and 8, he said, I will declare unto the Lord, for he said unto me, thou art my son. Now, I want to remind you, the same calling Jesus had as a son of God, we have as sons and daughters of God. For this purpose was the Son of God manifest to do what? Destroy the works of the devil. Thank God for your new house. Thank God for your home. Thank God for your car. Thank God you got your title and everything. That's part of your inheritance. You're the head and not the tail. You're the seed of Abraham. We'll look at that. But true maturity is when you understand that wealth is to be used to win the heathen of those without God. Hallelujah. That's part of our inheritance. He was talking to his son. Look what he said. And notice, God ain't going to save him. He said, you got to start praying. You got to stand in the gap. You got to intercede. The next verse. Ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen. That means the person without God, the broke heart, the sick, that person that's crying out, those that don't know God. For what? Thine inheritance. So part of our inheritance, he said, I've given you the heathen. But you know what? You're going to have to pray and intercede. You can read this in Isaiah 66. It says, as soon as Zion begin to travail and pray, then shall they bring forth. We can begin to give birth. Hallelujah. The souls here and souls there. There ain't too many people praying. Lord, give me souls. Lord, give me the brokenhearted. Give me the bruised. Bring me the captive. That's what Jesus came for, the heathen. That's part of our inheritance. So true maturity is when you go beyond your car. Thank God for your car, your house, your home, head, not the tail, above, not beneath. I'm blessed in the city. Yeah, but what are you doing about the heathen? How much of your money, how much of your time, how much of your income, how much of your church vision is going for the heathen? That's why for years, I was talking about this with my wife the other night. We were watching a movie about Africa and Kenya, and I was talking about doing the years of mission work and all the, when I went there, and why the heathen, those that didn't know God, and the children, and those that we're so blessed in America. Those living in mud huts, and those that walk for miles of being the meeting, and how I wound up giving my clothes and giving my money because I was so moved with compassion. I left the comforts of America, and I went to where, it wasn't even an outdoors bathroom, but a hole there. I mean, bees flying around, all the comforts of America, because part of my inheritance, even though I was blessed in the United States, was the heathen. Now, I ain't trying to say you got to go to Africa. You ain't called, but you can go next door. Go into the world. The world is crying out. So that's part of our inheritance. And until you understand that, you're not a really mature Christian. I came off of the streets. I used to be one of those heathens, and so did you. You just done forgot because you got so blessed. And we're in the gated community now. And we got the nice house and the nice cars and the plush carpet. And thank God for it. But inheritance is winning the lost. All of creation is crying out. And he said, they ain't just going to come to your church. You're going to have to begin to pray. You're going to have to begin to intercede, hallelujah. Pull down strongholds. Bind principalities by praying. Bring revival, hallelujah, to your city, to your state. As a church, that's part of our inheritance. We are going to be responsible. What did you do about winning the loss? Hallelujah. Praise God. So, we're talking about maturing as sons, daughters of God. Look at Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Let's start with verse 11, and we're going to read down. Hebrews 5, verse 11. Of whom we have many things to say, but hard to be uttered, not because I can't say them, because you're dull of hearing. Sound like Paul? I wanted to give you meat, but I had to feed you with meat, milk, because you couldn't receive. You was still immature. But when the time come, I want you to hear this, that you ought to be teachers. There come a time. How much we're going to have to teach on love? He gave some apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors. Why do we have to keep teaching on tithing? You ain't got it yet. Are you still immature? How you ain't got to teach on forgiveness? You ain't got it yet. There are certain subjects in the body of Christ that we taught on for years. Walking in love, tithing, praise God, forgiving one another. Jesus said forgive one. And kids, they don't get it. That's why Jesus said, again, I say unto you, they didn't get it the first time. And my job, he gave apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, all those calls on me for the maturing of the saints, hallelujah, until we get it. Someone said, how long you got to teach? Till you come into the unity of the faith, till you measure up to Jesus. God wants us to mature. There's growth. We got to begin to measure ourselves. Paul said, commit thou the faithful men that should be able to teach others also. I mean, you know, you overlook a child when he don't know how to make up his room and he's making mistakes. But as he grow out of his adolescence, become a teenager, there's maturation. He takes on more responsibility. And finally, all the things that you taught him, one day he's got to go off to college. And you know what? Now your report card starts. He's not there anymore. He's out on his own. She's out on her own. And there come a time that God said true maturity is not only when they get it, but they begin to teach others also. Paul said, commit thou the faithful men. That's growth. He said, there come a time when the time come. See, maturity, that's what he's talking about. When you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again. You still don't get it yet. You're not maturing. You're a child of God, but you're not growing up. You're not maturing. And when the time come, he said, you have need that one teach you again that be the first principles of the oracles of God, and you become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. God don't want to stay a babe. I mean, in the natural, that's why you go from the first, second, third grade. You know, they expect certain goals. There's expectation for maturity. But, you know, some of us, we graduated in natural, but in the spirit, there's still carnality, carnal babes in the church. Mad, angry, can't talk because I don't agree with you. And this is the stuff that the enemy has brought in. He said, look, I couldn't stop the church from getting saved, but I'm going to keep them cardinal. I'm going to keep them fussing and divided at one another. Because I know, number one, God ain't going to release the power because he's not the author of confusion. As long as there's division here and I got them stoked of their differences, praise God, I can stifle the power. Because I don't want another day of Pentecost when they were in one place in one accord. Because then they start having severance. And so here, Paul is talking about immature acts. He said, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. You should be out getting other people healed. You should be able to teach other people how to get filled with the Spirit. You don't even know. You ain't even walking in the Spirit yourself. You're not even praying in the Spirit. And he said, there come a time. That's why we have training. That's why I have mentorship. That's why I teach. And I've watched over the years men and women around me that have grown in the spirit. We all have made mistakes, but we're more mature to overlook things because, you know, Pastor, that was 5 years ago. That don't even matter anymore. I don't get offended at that anymore. And there are folks, if you say the wrong thing, they'll jump up, run out of the church. Why? I don't like what he said. I see it all the time, particularly now. Why? Immaturity. Feelings. He hurt my feelings. I don't agree with that. Yeah, but true maturity, so I might not agree with that. But you know what? I look at that church, it's winning souls. I look at that church, lives have been changed. And that's the call for the church. Not that I got to agree on every type of policy, but I do agree, praise God, on the fact that all the creation is crying out that church is bringing deliverance. That's our common denominator. And that's true maturity. But he said, no. He said, I got to feed you with milk. Why? You're unskillful with the word of righteousness. You obey. For strong meat belongeth to them. Those that by reason of use or practice, watch this, have their senses, their flesh. That's what that means. Five physical senses. Exercise or trained to discern both good and evil. Man, when you quit being so touchy and quit being offended because someone hurt your feelings, learn how to walk in the spirit. Many are the led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, not led by your flesh. Long as the devil can keep you mad, hurt, offended, and disagree, fussing and arguing, he said, I don't care how long you've been in the church. He said, you're still cardinal. He said, I can't. Man, it's time to go. There's some powerful things in the Word of God, but you ain't don't have the rudimentary basic things yet. Because your senses, you haven't trained your senses to know what's good and what's evil. All the devil got to do is get in your soulish realm. Get in your mind and bring and make you mad and get you offended. And James put it this way in James chapter 4. From whence come it wars and fightings among you? Where did all this strife come from that we see? Is it? He said it came out of your flesh. You're still being led by your senses and not by the reborn human spirit. And so all the devil got to do is keep you in the sense realm, in the feeling realm, in the offended, you hurt my feelings, I don't agree with you realm. And while the world is dying and going to hell, the church is fussing over non-issues as far as the kingdom of God is concerned. And Paul said, I'm limited to what I can do with y'all guys. And you know, it ends right there, but it goes on in chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, whenever you see the word therefore, find out what it's there for. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ. Man, you should know about walking in love, tithing. You should know about unity by now. Why we got to keep teaching the same thing? They didn't get it the first time. Jesus went through the same thing. Again, I say unto you. Let's go on to perfection, which means maturity. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God. God want to take us in 2021 to some more powerful things. But the church is in, we ain't even got walking in love. We ain't even got unity. We ain't even got that we're one. We don't even know how to disagree without being disagreeable. So the enemy has brought a bunch of stuff, and I don't want to hear all of that stuff. I ain't sticking my head in the sand. You know as well as I know that there's a division in the quote evangelical world right now. I experience it. I see it for myself. I've seen it for myself. There are certain preachers, if you bleed this way, bleed that, now won't even have nothing to do with you. Matter of fact, some of them are stronger, say you're going to hell. You're accessory. And my thing is this. All the mess that went down in the Capitol, all the carnality, the hatred, the murder, the destruction, all that we've seen, I've heard the church members and some of them try to throw out what that was. The Proud Boys, and that was the neo-Nazis. Yeah, that was. But somebody incited all of that. And if you might wasn't there, but if you support somebody that incited all that and believe in violence and believe in destruction, then you told me earlier, last year, I was accessory. Do it sound like you're accessory? You didn't have to be there. All you got to do is support someone that believes in violence, that plans violence. So we got to grow up and realize those things are not more important than the deliverance of mankind. Paul said, man, we got to move on. But if you don't change how you think, if you thought like that in 2020, guess what? You're going to still be offended and mad and division in 2021. Repent means change how you think. It don't mean feel sorry. Change how you think. That ain't working, man. The devil knows in unity their strength. Let's go through this during the Amplified. That's part of maturity. There come a time you ought to be teachers. You know, mama told me until I got, you know, and experience is not the best teacher. The word of God is. But through experience and not listening to her, I learned. Why I was not to go out of the neighborhood. Certain things mama said, things she taught me. I mean, I made mistakes growing up, but there came a day I got it, and I became a man. When I was a child, I spake as a child. Thought, but one day I got married. I got, now I'm teaching my son things that the Spirit of God has taught me and tell him to teach. Commit thou to faithful men. That's part of maturity. You got to measure your growth. Are you a mad tonight? Are you offended? Just because someone don't agree with you on this or that? Or can you look past that and say, you know what, praise God. The main thing is that we get the sick healed, that we get the gospel preached. And I'm going to go to that church, and I'm going to support that church. I'm going to pay my tithe. Not because, it didn't say coming to the unity of doctrines. It says the unity of the faith of the one call that we have. And so what the enemy has done has distracted the church. We got emotional. We got into personalities and feelings and all that and forgot about the call. Just like the prodigal son, he was immature. He went out, he got his inheritance, give me my. He went out, and because he wasn't mature, he spent it on prostitutes, drinking, lying, and when he found himself slopping halt, but here's the good news, he came to himself. And I believe this teaching that God has given is helping some of us come to ourselves. Awake out of that drunken stupor, man. It ain't always been like this. There's always been parties. There's always been. But I've been in churches. I've been in meetings to where we put down our differences and we came together and brought deliverance to that neighborhood. We fed the sick. Healed the sick and fed the hungry. Why? All the creation is crying out. And Satan, he don't really care about all that other stuff. As long as I can keep people bound, brokenhearted. And a lot of these demons, and I ain't got time to get into this, but man who had legion in him, he was not only controlling that man, he was controlling a whole area. He was controlling illegally. That's who caused the storm when Jesus said, let us go to the other side. He knew deliverance was coming. He tried to caused a storm, and Jesus had to rebuke the wind and wave God over there and cast that devil out. And once he cast out legion, that whole region was set free. There's something called proximity. And Satan don't like to give up regions and ground. And thank God when the church come to himself and realize we are the body of Christ. And that's when we will set not only individuals free, but whole regions will be free. He said, now concerning this, I got much to say. It's amazing. All the teaching I've done over the years since 1974 and 84, when I got saved. And you wonder, do people really hear you? That's why Jesus said, he that has ear, let him hear. And it wasn't because you couldn't teach it. It was called that lack of maturity. He said, I got much, man, which is hard to explain, since you have become dull of spiritual healing and sluggish because they was acting like kids. I want to hear that. You know how we are. Time we hear something we don't like, it rub us the wrong way. Pastor did said this. I don't agree with that. Don't shut me down. Because there's something I'm going to say you need to hear. He said, achieving spiritual insight. And then he goes into what the problem was. But even though by this time, my God, just think about all the CDs and DVDs and all the, it's particularly Word of Life. He said, there come a time that you ought to be teaching others. You ought to be getting people filled with the Spirit instead of arguing over spasms and this and clicks and clacks. You ought to be getting people saved, born again, healed. There come a time that you ought to be teaching others. But you actually have needed someone teach you over again the very first principles of God. We walk in love, pay a tithe, forgive. Here we go again. And you become a need of milk and not solid food. For everyone who continues to feed on milk is obviously inexperienced and unskillful with the doctrine of righteousness. It doesn't matter how long you've been in a church. You can be in a church and still be immature, still be caught. He said, in conformity to God's divine will and purpose, and we'll get into that in a minute, and thought and action, for he is a mere infant and not able to talk yet. You can't even communicate. But solid food is for them that are full-grown men, those who have their flesh, senses, flesh, as many other sons and daughters of God are led by their spirit, their reborn spirit. When I would do good, Paul said, do good, my spirit, evil is present. That's where the problem is, the flesh. Men and women in the flesh. I don't like what they said. I don't agree with that. Well, you don't have to. Do you agree with that people need to be healed? Do you agree that the world need to be saved? Let's agree with that. Put your flesh under. Them full grown, we're talking about growing, maturing as sons of God, whose senses and mental faculties, they think different now, are trained by practice. You make your mind whole to the word of God. You walk in the spirit and don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. I'm not going to get offended. I'm not going to get angry. The Bible says offended man, it is hard to be one in a strong city. He put bars. I ain't going there anymore. I've practiced putting my flesh under. And I've trained and practiced to discriminate between what is morally good, what is morally good. I don't want to go down that road. What is my, I mean, just look at fruit. Is that moral that you see on television? Or is that immoral? If it's immoral, the church, anyone support anybody that say they're a Christian ain't got no business behind it. Right or wrong. And this ain't about left or right. I'm talking about on either side. But that shouldn't separate us. It ain't about the disagreement. But the hypocrisy is when we say, you know, this scripture is right now, or used to be right, but we can't, it don't apply now. That's the stuff we got to get rid of. Bible didn't change. People have changed. He says, what is morally good and noble, and what is evil, and what is contrary, either to divine or human law. Did you get it? Divine or human law. Human law, what is human law? Human law is Romans 13, that says there are no magistrates except those that's been ordained by God, and they are your ruler for good. And that's what I was taught. Oh, my God, submit yourself. The officer bear not the sword in vain. He's the minister of God for your good. And all that's in authority and rule, they've been put there by God, and you supporting you, and then you put your flesh under. And I did, praise God, hallelujah. But all of a sudden, I see folks in the name of Jesus, signs and stuff, and you can call them who you were. It doesn't matter if you support what they was doing or anyone who incited what they was doing. Then you're accessory. Don't throw that on me and don't use it against you. That was not morally a human law. Human laws was being broken. And the church shouldn't even have nothing. Anybody that called themselves concerned shouldn't have no type of support behind it. And he said, if you call that good and you're going to justify that, and people can live above the law and can kill, attack, destroy property, maim folks, cut off fingers, injure folks, put out eyes, cause suicide, and you sit there and you vote and say that is good, then you still ain't grown up yet. I didn't say it. That right there said it. Because you can't discern what's good and evil no more. Come on. Don't get quiet on me now. Keep going. Therefore, see, you know what? All what I just explained ain't even important to me. Man, this is 2021. I came from the street. There are folks, drug addicts, and I know I was at those parties. I know guys. I know what it is to hurt. I know what it is to be bound and do drugs and alcohol and pills and just pass out and then wake up the next morning in the field and like, is there any use of living? I know the despair of going down a one-way street on purpose, 100 miles an hour, trying to take my life. All the while I was crying out, I was travailing in pain, saying, where are the sons of God? Thank God my mama was praying for me. Because I was ready, I was right. We're the one that's going to have to give birth to deliverance of mankind. He said, but we got to go on. We got to move past division. And all that stuff last year. And all the rioting and protest. It's time to move on. There's a pandemic killing folks. Folks are hurting. Folks are without health care. They're crying out, where are the sons of God? Some of them are still immature, fussing and fighting. So therefore, let us, and I hope us depend on whoever made that in mind. You know, moving on. There are certain subjects I don't even get. I ain't got time to argue with you, man. Man's kind of deliverance is on. Jesus came. He had 3.5 years to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils. He said, I must be about my father's death. He didn't get the fussing with scribes, Pharisees, and all. And what? It was over the law. The law said, it's time to move on. Let us go past the elementary stages. How many of you went to elementary school? Well, that was 20, 30 years. By now, you should be a senior, junior, say graduated. He said it's time to mature past elementary stage in teaching and doctrines of Christ, of the Messiah, advancing steadily toward completeness and perfection that belongs to spiritual maturity. When I was a child, I don't fuss no more. There's no division. I'm not going to let that separate you from me. I ain't gonna fuss with you about that. But I do agree that this person needs to be healed. I do agree, praise God, we got to go into all the world and preach the gospel. We got to win the heathen. Spiritual maturity. He said, let us not again lay the foundation of repentance. You need to repent. Tell them you're sorry. Repent, pay your tithe. That's why the church has been stuck in a rut. And the enemy knows it. If I can't keep them from getting saved, I'm just going to keep them caught. Unto repentance, abandonment of dead works, dead formalities, formalisms and of faith, which when you turn to God, man. That was way back there, and some folks are still in elementary school. You failed spiritual school. And that's because someone has grown. Birthdays does not necessarily represent maturity. So there's a stage. Put up this statement. I'm going to move on because, if you ain't getting it by now, you ain't going to get it. Go back YouTube and go over all these myths. There's a stage of maturity when a son becomes a teacher. He said, when the time comes, you ought to be teaching. Now you're a peacemaker. You used to get in there, be fussing. But you say, you know what? That's called, man. I ain't got time for that. I can be getting someone safe here. And so you tell people, hey, look, it don't matter, man. Let's agree on what we can agree on. Let's go out here and dig these tracks and give out to the people. There are people crying out. Let's help get the gospel on television. What is your part? The measure, the fascia working, or the measure of every part? Begin there. What you going to bring to the body that's going to bring unity? Start maturing and realize these isms and scissors are not even important, because when we stand before God, that's all cardinal stuff. The lives will be at stake. So there's a stage of maturity when sons and daughters should become teachers. I got it, Pastor. You ain't got to rebuke me anymore. You ain't got to call me. I got it now. I know how to be an usher and how to stay in love and how that the love of God is more important than the rule. I got it, Pastor. I know about tithing. I know that it belongs to the Lord. You ain't got to teach it. I mean, you can teach it for those, but I got it. I'm going to help you teach it to other people in the congregation. I got it, Pastor. I ain't going to get offended. I realize that's what the enemy used, praise God, where there's envy and strife and confusion. I ain't going there anymore. I used to get mad. You would say stuff in a minute, but you know what? Now, everybody, praise God, all the ushers, all the greeters, I'm teaching them, no strife here. We're going to have the power of God. Hallelujah. Pray. I'm going to help you teach others in the Bible. Look, that's maturity. That's what you do when you have a three a 7, and a 12-year-old. The 12-year-old start helping you with the 3-year-old. Go get her shoes. Go give me that. Now they can help. That I remember I was at that stage. And it's, we got to move on, man. This is 2021. And this is about Jesus, Hebrews 5, 8, and 9. Watch this. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience, hold it there, by the things which he suffered. Now, a carnal-minded person say, yes, that's why he was whipped. That's why you got to suffer. You know, I had that car wreck, and I learned not to drive drunk. No, he ain't talking about that. He's talking about resisting the flesh, putting his flesh under. The Bible says in Hebrews, Jesus was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. He was tempted to get mad, get offended. He was everything you ever felt as a son, to get out of the love of God on that cross. If you be the son of God, defend yourself. But he suffered. He put his flesh under. He could have destroyed, called 12 legion of angels. He could have got in the flesh. He was sick. He could have got over in his Godhead power. But he suffered. He went through everything. He was rejected, talked about. Rejected the men, came to his own received it not. But instead of, the Bible says when he was reviled on the cross, he did not retaliate and try to revile back. He didn't return tongue lashing. He sat there and he put his flesh under. And he was learning how to train his flesh and to be led by the Spirit. That's what happened in Mark 4, chapter 4 when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. He had put his flesh under. So that when the enemy came and said, if you be, he responded, it is written. The word came out. He was a son of God, so he learned. He put his flesh under. My way is not important. Stand in the Spirit, not my will. Father, if there's any other way. Oh, my God, he was feeling it. The Bible said it was like great drops of blood. The enemy was putting pressure on his emotions. He said, my soul, this thing almost killed me. But he said, not my will, but thy will be. And he kept the word of God, and he matured. And the more you walk in the Spirit, you mature. And the suffering is resisting the things of the flesh. That's what, remember Romans, right before Romans 8:19 was Romans 8:18. The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed. It's talking about putting your flesh under as a son of God and walking in the Spirit. That's how you mature. I'm just going to keep silent. Let them cuss. Let them cuss me out. It might seem like you're a son, but you're winning because you're mature. You don't respond in the flesh anymore. You respond with the fruit of the Spirit. Against us, there's no law. Look at the next verse behind it. And being made perfect, that means mature. He became the author of eternal salvation, all them that obey him. In other words, because I went through it, I was tempted in all points like y'all are, felt what you felt, and I didn't give into it, come to me. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Now I can teach you how to overcome lust. I can teach you how to overcome hate. I can teach you how to overcome offense because of what I went through on the cross. That's true maturity. Well, you don't give in to the flesh, but if it means spiritual suffering, putting your flesh under to stay in the Spirit and stay in love. Against such, there is no law. That's when you begin to mature instead of just, I'm tired of this. I'm just going to knock somebody out. That's what the devil wants you to do because you get out of the realm of power and you get in the realm of the flesh. And we ain't wrestling against flesh and blood. Hallelujah. So true maturity is when you can control your flesh, make it suffer, put it under, your words, respond with words of love. That's true maturity. And he said he learned how to do that. And that's another thing that I'll show you that Jesus wasn't just automatically filled with wisdom, knowledge. He grew in stature. He grew. What do you think he did at the minister all day, healed the sick, raised the dead, and went up in the mountain? He spent time with his father. He had to get it just like you and I got it. I'll show it to you from the Word. Now look at Galatians chapter 3. We're going to try to move quickly tonight and just close this thing up and just keep it going. I'm going to keep going on it Sunday too. Galatians chapter 3, because our inheritance is at stake. And like I said, we're the seed of Abraham. We talked about that. And look at verse 29. And then we're going to read in chapter 4, verse 12. Yeah, I'm blessed going in, blessed going out. I got my inheritance. I'm the seed of Abraham. Get your inheritance. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm the head, not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. The lender, not the borrower. Get your inheritance. Yeah, get it. But you better grow up first if you want it. And you can't get it without growing up, without the word of God, because the Bible says, I commend you to the word of his grace, which is able to give you your inheritance. You can't grow up and get everything God wants you to have without the word of God. And because we're blessed, got a nice house, 3 or 4 cars, got this now, little money in our pocket, living pretty good, and pay, we think that's the end of inheritance. God wants to give you unlimited wealth. Why? To win the heathen. If I had $100 billion, unlimited wealth, do you know, can you imagine the other day at the Super Bowl, when you was watching the Super Bowl the other day, do you know I could have bought a commercial? I could make them put a scripture on every box. Money talks, man. And if we had unlimited wealth, we could put our messages. I could be prime time. I could do a 5-minute preaching like I'm doing now right at the Super Bowl. It would have cost $35 million, but if I got unlimited wealth, guess what? The message of Christ. So it's more than about your house and your car. What about the heathen out there? If you had unlimited wealth, you could buy stations. You'd be prime time, not just hear me on Sunday morning, but you hear me on Tuesday night at 7:30 on ABC, CBS. I can flood all the channels unlimited wealth, because if you got the money, they'll put you on. They'll put you on every cereal box. They'll put you on soap. They're anything you want to advertise and let you put whatever scripture you want. That's what. Why? We could be winning the lost, but now we get comfortable because we just got a little nice little house and this and that, and ooh, I'm debt free. Buy more than you. Thank God for all of that. But there's still people need to be saved, born again. We can win them. Money can be used, hallelujah, to get the gospel on every station, in commercials, more television stations. If you're still concerned about all that. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 3, look at verse 29. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed. See, glory be to God. And heirs according to the promise. Woo! I'm an heir. I'm the seed of Abraham. I'm blessed going in, blessed going out. Abraham was very rich in gold and silver. That's right. And so was Jacob. And so was, he had generational blessings. But keep reading. Chapter 4, verse 1. Now I say that an heir, as long as he is a child, as long as he's immature, I don't care how much wealth you got. I don't care how much money you got. I don't care how many condominiums you own. I don't care how many airlines and stocks you own. He said, as long as he's a child, he's nothing that different from a slave or a servant. Don't he be Lord at all. Though you're an heir, you're the seed. But you're under tutors. That's why God began to give me this. He said, you don't have to begin to teach. Just like I'm tutoring. That's why I ain't trying to preach all this on one Sunday and one Tuesday. You're under tutorship now. Why? God wants you to mature. Because he wants the fullness of the inheritance. He said, you're under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Notice there is a fixed time. You read in Psalms 102 that he said, in Zion, rejoice, for your fixed time is. That God ain't trying to keep it from you. He just know that in order to win souls and understand that the heathen is part of his heritage, if I give it to you and everything I really want to give you before the time, then you're going to become carnal-minded and you're going to be like the prodigal son. See, Abraham knew what to do with wealth. He would teach his children's children. But there were some people, it's not always you, it's some people probably in your boat, like you got some lots who was in it for what they could get. Oh, my God. Woo! He saw the blessing on Abraham. He said, you go left, I go right. And Lot was covetous. But Lot caused strife. And strife, you're not ready for an inheritance as long as there's strife. So it began to affect Abraham. And Abraham realized, oh, my God, I ain't heard the voice of God. Now, let there be no strife. You can go left, I'll go right. You go north, I'll go south. Because the blessing on me, I'm going to be blessed wherever I go. And as soon as he separated himself, and he said, now lift up your eyes. See, there's a fixed time. Abram was still trying to hold on to Terah, his father-in-law. Hold on to Lot. Hold on. And Lot went with them. Hold on to strife. And what are you holding on for? Yeah, you're blessed, but there's a fullness of the inheritance. He said, as long as you're a child, you don't differ nothing than a slave. I'm going to have Pastor Dennis teach on this until you mature and quit fussing and fighting and mad and where Christians can come together again, and regardless of what restaurant you're in and who you voted for, when you hear a certain name, you don't all get up and run off like a lot of people do. That's cardinal. Verse 1 and 2, chapter 4. Back it up. Amplified. Chapter 4, verse 1, amplified. Now, what I mean is this, so you'll get it plain. Yeah, you are heir. Yeah, it all belongs to you. But as long as you still come, immature, still on milk, you inherit it. It's all yours. God says, fear not, little frog. It's my father's good pleasure to give it to, but he ain't going to give it to you until you show maturity. He's a child. He's underage. He don't differ nothing than a slave. He ain't no different than your servants outside. Although he's master of the whole estate, you in the will, the car, the house, the home, the money, the wealth, the bank account, they're all yours, but you ain't going to get none of it. Why? You're still childish. Paul said, I got to feed you with milk and not meat. Y'all will be teaching. You ain't even learned. We got to go back and teach you over again. Quit fussing. Quit squalling. Quit getting offended. Quit murmuring and complaining. Keep going, next verse. But he's under guardians and administrators. And this time I'm going to go all the way to verse 7. I've been saving this. He's under guardians, teachers. That's what I feel like this whole thing is. God has had me under teaching. Why? He want to release what? You ain't seen nothing yet. I know you're blessed. I know you think, but you ain't saw the fullness yet. Unlimited wealth. Unlimited resources where you can command the blessing, get folks saved, and win heathens, and go into a secular world, and they will listen to you because of the wealth that you carry. And say, yeah, we'll put your commercial on. Yeah, we'll put your television on. We'll put it on Monday, Tuesday night, prime time, ABC, CBS, at 7:30, you got the money. Because inheritance, remember, is about the heathen also, not just about stuff. So God says you got to be under trustees until the date fixed by. See, God ain't trying to keep it from some stuff you ain't ready for. And I know a lot of people think they can handle wealth, but I've seen it change too many folks. Keep going. So then we Jewish Christians, then also we were minors. We were kept like slaves under the rules of Hebrew rituals and subject to the elementary teaching. Remember? Time to leave the elementary stuff and move on. Of the system of external observations, and take all this, put on that, and regulations. But when the proper time had fully come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born subject to the regulation law, came by the law. He came in, lead. That's why he had to be born of a virgin. Except you come through the door is the womb of a woman. Jesus just couldn't just come in here. He had to come as the seed of Abraham to purchase the freedom, the ransom, to redeem, to atone for those who were subject to the law, that we might adopt and have sonship. We're talking about the whole growing in sonship. Sonship conferred upon us and recognized as God's son. And because you are really his sons, God has sent forth the Holy Spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. God says there's a time fixed. I've just been waiting on maturity. And sometimes the maturity is just understanding that the wealth part of our inheritance is when the heathen. That's why even to this day, when I'm at McDonald's, when I'm at any restaurant, I'm always looking for the same guy that would like me. I see him unsaved. I'm willing to witness, take time, always pray for anyone. I don't care. I'm always looking for the heathen because my heart, yes, God, we got a nice house, nice car, nice clothes, all that. God has blessed me and enjoyed his past, and I can just be so satisfied, but I'll never be satisfied as long as there's another person because all of creation is crying out, waiting for our sonship, sons of God. The earth is in birthing pain. Sin has affected this world. Rape and murder and bondage and lack and poverty and sickness and disease and prostitution and hatred and racism and murder and all of this stuff. And in the earth, there's so much sin now. The Bible says it's suffering birth pains. Sin is there. Deliver out. They're waiting on the Son. We are the problem solvers. It will just put down our differences and grow up and mature in our sonship. Amen? So then the purpose for our life then is to reproduce. The purpose for our life is to reproduce. God's purpose for our life is to reproduce other sons just like he did Jesus. We've gotten away from our purpose. And it was just till recently I began to read this because a lot of people love. First of all, Romans 8:28 ain't talking about the devil or bad things nowhere in there. Remember, we're in the Romans 8 chapter. It starts off putting the flesh under. It talks about walking in the Spirit. There's no condemnation. Those in Christ who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then it goes on in verse 26. It was talking about the Holy Spirit. We know not what to pray for as we all, but the Holy Spirit make it innocent with groanings. Uh-oh. I think we need to begin to intercede for the lost. Ask of me, I'll give you the heathen. Ask of me. There are people don't even give altar calls anymore. Sunday, I felt so rushed, I got rid of nothing. And someone said, wait a minute. We had a young lady crying out, got saved, born again, right? You don't even see that anymore. Ask of me, I'll give you the heathen. They're right, they're ready. God says, that's part of your hurt. I'll give you many sinners. Look to the left, right, as far as you can see. I'll give you High Point, Greensboro, Winston-Salem. But start interceding. And then Romans 8:28, you'll see, and 29, you'll see what it was saying. And we know, when we begin to intercede and pray in the Spirit for things we don't know what to pray for as well, all things work together. Now watch it. For the good to them that love God, that's you, that's you, that's you, that's me, and them who are called, now hold this there, according to his purpose, called according to his purpose. Now, how many know what a conjunction is, for and but if? So he's going to tell you what the purpose, our purpose is. Verse 29, for, you get it? Called according to the purpose. Okay, so that's directly connected to, okay, now we're going to find out the purpose. For those he did foreknow, me and you, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, Jesus, that he might be the firstborn, I'm going to change this word, among many sons, well, brethren. God got more than one son. He's not the only begotten, he's the first begotten. And our purpose was to grow and mature into Jesus, walk like Jesus, talk like Jesus, heal like Jesus, that he might be the first among many sons. That's our purpose, growing and developing and maturing into sonship to when we look just like Jesus, talk like Jesus, lay hands, get the same results as Jesus. Little John 3, verse 1 and 2 says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. You don't become a son of God when you die and go to heaven. You're already one. That we should be called sons of God. Wherefore the world knows us not because it knew him not. Why don't they know us? Because it's too much flesh. It's too much arguing. It's too much. Hey, they don't see Jesus yet. But hey, we're conforming. That's our purpose. He want me to be just like him. The firstborn of my many sons. I want you to heal like him, talk like him, forgive. Now, how are we going to get like that? 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. As we behold in the word of God as a mirror, we continue to look in this mirror and we see Jesus. We are constantly being changed from the same image. We see the glory of it. We see Jesus from one degree to another. My finances begin to change. My talking begin to change. When I was a child, I didn't like a child. I thought, but I look at Jesus and Jesus didn't get offended. Jesus didn't get mad at people that disagree with him. So I'm going to conform to them. I'm going to grow up and mature. So he's the firstborn among men. That's our purpose. That's the purpose of the church. in it. Thank God for your car. Thank God for your house. Thank God for a debt-free church. But you know what? If we're not like Jesus, we're not healing the sick, if we're not touching, hurting humanity, we are missing our purpose. And so the devil knows, if I can't stop them from getting saved, I'm going to keep them caught. Look at, you can see that, anybody, even one that can see that. Look at Little John 3, verse 8. He that committed sin is of the devil. I'll make it even more painful. The devil sinned from the beginning. And for this purpose, who, Jesus? Yes, Jesus, but also the other sons. Manifest means to make known, to be revealed, to come to the surface. The whole of creation is waiting, crying out for the sons of God to be met. Who can get me free? The guy at the bar is getting drunk, saying, can somebody help me? The prostitute, can someone help me? People with COVID-19, unemployed, no health care. There are folks all over the world crying out, waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God. Why? For this purpose of the Son of God manifest. That he might do what? Destroy the works of the devil. We got the same call on us Jesus had as the Son of God. Even as thou sent me, Father, I'm sending them. Go forth, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out them. And the church has gotten away from its purpose. And you have to mature as sons of God. That's why I say conform to the image. That means being changed. We ain't like them yet. Not totally. I'm not, but thank God I'm more closer than I was now. That's what maturation, maturity is all about. Put this up in the Amplified. It makes it even more plain. He that committed or practiced sin, evil doing is of the devil. I don't practice sin. I'm capable of sin. My flesh is, my spirit has been reborn. Takes the character from the evil one. And the devil of sin violated divine law from the very beginning. And for this reason was the Son of God made. And this is not just about Jesus. This is not why he came on scene. This is why those he foreknow, he did predestinate. Same reason for you and I. He saw me when I was out on the streets of High Point doing drugs, alcohol. He said, oh my God, if I can get him born again and get him like Jesus, this boy is going to help the world. This boy is going to change the world. But that ain't just me. I'm just one son. For this purpose were they made manifest, visible, to undo, destroy, loosen, and dissolve the works that the devil. And is that's the call of the church in the book of Acts. It's the call of the church now. But what has happened? Church has distracted everything you can think about. Why? Immaturity. All to be teaching others. Love, forgiveness, coming together, overlooking this. And there was a time we were doing it. I don't know what happened. I've been saved 45 years. I've been around on both sides of the aisle in black, white churches, Protestant, Catholic, and there was a time, even though you believe that, I believe, it didn't stop the call of bringing deliverance. But all of a sudden now, that's a spirit. It's an end-time spirit trying to pull the church away. And the Satan is pushing it because, hey, guess what? The works of the devil remain. He don't care who you love or who you like or who you believe and what you like and left, right. Long as the drug, as long as I can just keep taking folks to hell, long as folks still crying out, as long as they stay bound, y'all keep fuss hogging. That's right, you right there. He'll get it going. He's the author of confusion. Just keep everybody bound. Keep carrying the hell, dying by COVID-19, dying by lack, dying because of lack of knowledge. Good teaching, Pastor Dave. St. John's Gospel, let me close this, chapter 5. Look at verse 19 and 20. I want y'all to get something. I ain't got time for people to get mad. See, I used to, if I say that. Look, if you get mad, it's because you just a little bit immature, then. Because the Bible says sons endure correction. So if you feel like correction, I'm just doing my part. I'm called. Now, if I was called to run that camera, that the guy holding that camera and the guy holding that camera right there looking at me, I'd be there doing that. But this is my part. He gave some apostle, prophet, teachers. Why? To mature you. And so if you're hearing something that's challenging you, just mature. Hallelujah. Let's stay with the big picture. Our purpose is to bring deliverance to a hurting world. You don't have to agree with nothing I say. Praise God. But I'm mature enough to see the big picture, that his souls, lives are at stake. And I'm not going to let nobody separate me from my church and for those that's called to speak blessings into my life, because I'm not mature enough to handle. Amen. St. John 5, and I'm through. God bless y'all. Thank you for tuning in for this Bible study. We love you. We appreciate you. Me, Joyce. We're praying for you. Praise God. And continue to hold us up and pray for us. You got St. John's Gospel? And let's go ahead and close this. Look at chapter 5, and let's look at verse 19 and 20. Jesus said this. Verse 19, then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. And what things soever he sees the Father do it, the Son likewise. So the Father loveth the Son and show him all things that he himself do it, and he will show him his greater works than these, that you may marvel. Put this up in Amplified as I close. So Jesus answered and said to them, I show you most of all, I tell you that the Son is able to do nothing of himself, of his own accord. You remember Jesus said, I didn't come to speak my own words, but the words of my Father. I didn't come to do. So what am I trying to say? I'm going to go on and make this statement. In order to mature, you're going to have to spend time with the Father. That's what Jesus did. That's how he grew. He said he's able to do only what he see the Father do. And whatever the Father does is what the Son does himself in the same way in his turn. For the Father dearly loves the Son, and his clothes shows him everything he himself does. He will disclose him. He will let him see greater things yet than these, so that you may marvel and be full of wonder and astonishment. So we got to spend time with the Father. Spend time in the Word. Time with the Father. Time with the Father. You're going to mature. You need someone more mature than you. Quit hanging around immature people. Iron sharpens iron. You say, well, yeah, you have a Father, but though you have 10,000 instructors, you don't have many fathers. Have someone to father in spirit. Talk to people with it. Get someone with a father in spirit perspective if you want to mature. Because a lot of times, if you want to become wiser and smarter, you got to get around someone wiser and smarter than you. That's why Jesus would minister all day, but he would depart in the mountains. Put up this last statement. Be with the Father. To mature then as sons, you must spend time with the Father in the Word. My greatest maturity came, even though my natural father, I never played baseball or threw me a football or went to a game or went to a park, never did. He was a good man. But as I got in the Word of God and began to take on the character of the Father, that's where my maturity came. And when you get in the Word and begin to spend time, the same spirit and characteristics of the Father begin to come on you. That's what happened to Jesus too. He said, when you see me, you'll see the Father. I want to show you this before I close. Look at Luke 2, 40 through 43, 46. I want to show you Jesus just didn't get it all. He just came with infinite wisdom. No, he had to grow as a son. And the child grew and waxed strong in his spirit and was filled with wisdom. And the grace of God was upon. So Jesus grew. How? His time with the Father. He just didn't get it because he was just, I'm the son of God. I'm already smart. No. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, okay, now he's 12, he went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled all the days there, and they returned, and the child Jesus turned behind in Jerusalem, and his mother knew it not. Keep going. To whatever spoke. And it came to pass after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing asking them questions. And all of them heard were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. His mother said, son, what is this that thou dealt with us? And he said, our father and I have sought thee sorry. And he said unto them, watch this. Wouldst thou not know I must be about my father's business? I must be about my father's business. You remember that scripture we read in Galatians as I close that says that though you're an heir, as long as you're a child, you're doing nothing. Be under tutors and governors. He was subject to his mama. He was subject, But guess what happened? He's 12 years old now. And there's a fixed time, the father's business. And I looked that up and I thought about it. And some of you are going to know this when I said, especially you that come from a Jewish background. You know, a child grows, and when he becomes 12 and going to 13, there's something they have for that child called a bar mitzvah. And that bar mitzvah is like a celebration of maturity that you've come out of a childhood stage. Now you are about to mature. And notice, God says there's a time fix of the father. The father wants to turn his business over to his children. But even Jesus didn't start a full time until he matured to that place where he was recognized no longer as a child, but it's the first stage of manhood when you're between 12 and 13 called about mitzvahs, and they celebrate it. And they were wondering, well, you just in love. He said, no, I ain't talking about Joseph. It's time. My father has a business, and that's souls. That's winning the lost. I must do the will of my father. And God will turn stuff over to you. You wonder why I'm not more God and son. Everybody know this. You take the great companies like Hershey's and Roy Firestone Tires and all that. It's a history. That business, it was from generation to generation. The father would train the son, and he wouldn't give him everything. But when he grew up, then the father would give the business over to the son, and then his son, and it was a legacy, praise God. That was part of the father's business, even though all of Hershey chocolate bar, all of Roy Fire, all of Fire stuff belong to him all the time, but there's a fixed time. And God has been watching the church, saying, I want to give you unlimited wealth. But I can't because you're still caught. You're still fussing. Are you not carnal? There's envy, strife, and you still milk and not meat. Pastor, preach a little something you don't like, you get mad. Stay out of church. I ain't tithing. I'm going to find me someone else. Immature. God said, you ain't ready yet. And even Jesus did it legally. He said, I must be about my father's business. And that's where I'm at right now. Teaching the body of Christ. I'm so focused. I ain't got time to argue for all these folks, all these offended Christians, mad, somebody done stole something, it was illegal, and all them lies. I ain't even stopped. I must be about my father's business. There's a world that's got to be won by mature folks, and somebody got to grow up and put all of them lies and all that junk down and all the hatred and all division. We're censoring this and we're that. That same spirit has come over into the church. Don't tell me it haven't, because it's 80% evangelicals that support stuff that's going on. And God is saying the church is not ready. People are dying, going to hell, committing suicide. There's a pandemic. You got the answer. You're the problem solver. Will you grow up? I don't know about you, but I made up my mind, and I believe my wife have too. And if this teaching is challenging you, good. Because that's what it makes you come to yourself. Because sometimes we think we are places that we are not, and it takes a father, someone with a little bit more knowledge, to come in, and the Heavenly Father to show us errors of our life. Those that the Lord loves, he's constantly purging. Why? So that we can bring forth more fruit. And then the fullness of inheritance. Then you see Jesus being baptized in the Holy Ghost. And at 30 years old, which was full grown, that was the beginning of growth, the Holy Ghost came on him. He began to heal the sick, raise the dead, and we saw unlimited power, the Spirit without measure on him. And God wants to bring you and I, sons of God, the same place that he brought Jesus as Son of God, but he's waiting on maturity. For those he did foreknow, he also did predestinate for them to be conformed to the image made just like him. Same maturity, same mindset. Let this mind be in you which was in Christ. And all that offended stuff, no, Christ wasn't like that. That he might be the firstborn among brethren means sons. If it's more than one son, that's my brother. I got some brothers, but we also are sons of George and Clara Diggs. So So God is waiting on you and I to grow up. I love y'all, guys. Appreciate you.